Now, if you had been on the board selecting the third reading for the Feast of Corpus Christi, what would you have picked? Where would you go? It's very interesting that the people responsible for that, and then the church approves it, talk about the multiplication of the loaves. Matthew, Mark, and this year C, Luke. Why do they do that? Well, that's what we're going to try to figure out now. But I think, in a way, the answer is given to us by the long discourse our Lord has in chapter 6 of John, where he talks, he multiplies the bread, then he goes across the sea, as he does in every other gospel, except Luke, I think. And then, in John, he gives this long discourse about feeding on him. It's remarkable. You know, feeding on him, physical. He uses even the word throgin, munch, eat my body. There's nothing imaginary about what he's doing, you see. Right, but why this? Well, let's start. Well, let me say a few words first. What is the Lord doing here? He's prophesying by this gesture how he is going to care for his people until the end of time. He's going to feed them in his own body and blood. That's how he's going to take care of them. And he prophesies that in this gesture. He breaks bread. The fathers of the church were very sensitive to this. Huh? They're intrigued by the chlasmata, the fragments left over. What are these fragments left over? And why does the Lord tell the disciples to collect them in baskets? They picked up 12 baskets of this, huh? Of the chlasmata, of the fragments. Many of the fathers of the church, I think the first may have been Origen, but I forgot to look it up. Though I did one of the very first studies I ever did when I was a student at the Biblicum was on the multiplication in the fathers. You see, those chlasmata, that's the teaching of the church, which the apostles break until the end of time. You see, you've got to gather up these fragments. You've got to keep those with the four gospels, you see, in these baskets. And then you feed the church until I come back on my doctrine and on my body and blood. And until I come back, huh? And you declare the death of the Lord until he comes. Okay. So the text, okay. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God. Now that's an editor, do you know, version. I mean, it's fine, but it's an introduction. This is Luke 9:11-17. You know, folks, if I ever forget to give you the numbers, you can always look them up yourself. And that would give you more practice. Though, it's okay. I shouldn't forget, but just in case I do. You see, that's what I'm trying to say. 11-17. Luke 11. Starts off with prayer, okay? No, I have the wrong... Oh, I'm sorry. Luke 9:11-17. Okay. So, Jesus sends them out to preach, and he says, don't take anything. Just go preach. I'll take care of you through the people who listen to you preach. Then, people still do this. When they're called to this, this is the way they go. Nothing. They just start preaching. Walk around preaching. Walk over to India and preach. And expect people to feed them and clothe them and house them while they preach. So that's what he's saying here, you see. Don't take anything with you. More or less is what he's saying here, you see. Then they come back, and the apostles, they told him what they did, and he said, let's get a break. Let's get a break. So they went to a private town called Bethsaida. But the crowds knew about this, and they followed around, you see. And when they got there, what would he do? What would he ever do? Anybody coming to Jesus from anywhere, what does he do? He heals them. He teaches them. He cares for them. Right? And so that's what he does. And so he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. He always does that. In Matthew at this point, I might have had these backwards now. In Matthew, he heals them. And in Mark, he cures them. And the fathers of the church say, healing is a cure and curing is a healing. I mean, and preaching is a healing. But here, you see, he received them. And Luke puts them both together, the one from Matthew and the one from Mark. Does he do it because he's got Matthew and Mark there and he's typing up? No. Regardless of what some of the early critics thought. No, this is a living, vibrant tradition, moved and animated and guided by the Holy Spirit. Okay, we got to get going on this text now. Okay, so the crowd knew what he did, and so he received them and spoke to them, and he healed those who needed to be cured. Now, as the day was drawing to a close, you see, they said, look, Jesus, look at this crowd. 5,000 people is a lot of people, you know. And they got to eat. If they start walking home now, they'll just about make it to a place where they can get something before they make it home. What is Jesus saying? Huh? Give them some food yourself. Now, why does he do that? I mean, that's almost sarcasm. Well, you know, you do it. You feed them. Because he's teaching them, right? And what do they say? What they've got to say? Well, first they say, well, first place, we don't have enough money. Even if, you know, and there's no place to buy the stuff anyway. Now, he's hoping they're going to say, but you can help us. But they don't. They're not quite there yet. So he says, have them all sit down. And that's how the text goes. In groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, is the way the text goes here. Lavon tus pentiartus, que tus dio ictias, aneblepsas iston uranon, evlogisen aftus. He blessed them, evlogisen, and broke them, and was giving them out to the disciples who passed them on to the crowd. See? And they ate, and they were all satisfied. And the number was more than, how did they translate that? Numbered about 5,000. And at the end, you see, and when they left over, regular picked up, he filled 12 wicker baskets. So I say the fathers of the church, what did they do with those baskets? What are the klasmata? What are the fragments? See, the fragments of the bread we live by is the teaching of Jesus in the church until he comes back, which is concentrated and feeds us in his body and blood. We don't have the body and blood and the teaching. We have the teaching, which is his body and blood, and his body and blood, which is the teaching. Every time you go to Mass, and the priest is doing what Jesus told him to do, holds up this bread and said, this is my body. Isn't that a teaching? Look how he takes care of us. Is that the way we take care of each other? You know, I think I've already quoted it today, but 1 John 3:16, you know, no, I didn't. I don't think. God is love, I did. Well, then you know the text. See, if you see your brother in need and close your heart to him, how can you say that the agape tou theou is in your heart? How can you say the love of God is in your heart? You won't even feed your brother, for heaven's sakes. You know? And then John goes on, let us not love in word and deed, but word and tongue, glossa, but in deed and in truth. Now, truth doesn't mean just truly love. In truth, for John, means reveal the Father. That's why you've got in Matthew 8:16, I think, let your good work shine before men, so that they'll see them and glorify your Father in heaven. Take care of these people so that they'll know how I care for them. And bring them so that they believe in me, and then feed them on my body and my blood. You see? That's what he's saying. And so, you see that it was left over, filled 12 baskets. How many disciples? How many? 12 apostles, you see? So, this patristic theme, that bread is not gone to waste. That bread is not, that bread is not, they haven't run out of the bread because it's the truth. Isn't that right? How many times is wisdom called bread? We live by wisdom. We get our nourishment from wisdom. Ultimately, why? Because Jesus is wisdom. That's why. So every piece of bread we eat is a reminder that we really live by the Word of God incarnate. We need this bread. We need this food. We need a fried egg. We need something to keep our bodies going. But the stuff that keeps us alive is Jesus Christ. And he gives himself to us in the Eucharist, you see? And so that's why, you see, what our Lord is doing here is prophesying how he is going to take care of his church until the end of time. He himself is going to feed on bread and wine. You see, he's going to break this bread and feed it, but it's going to be his own body. And so this is a prophecy of how he's going to take care of his church from all time. How can you feed 5,000? My friend, when I rise from the dead, I will feed 5 billion every day. Every day. So, and that's, see, the wealth, the generosity, the power of the Lord is not just that he did that, but he does it every day. And now, it's the Lord Christ in heaven who gives us his body and blood. It's the resurrected, glorious body and blood of Jesus Christ. Every time, I think I've said this before, but when I say, this is my body, this is my blood, you know, and the Lord Christ, the immense, glorious King of the universe, is there. The angels go, they gasp, because they're there. Wherever the liturgy is celebrated, there's all kinds of angels, always. And when the priest says these words and the Spirit changes that bread into the very living, resurrected, glorious body of Christ, and that wine into the living, resurrected blood of Christ, what humility! And the angels just go, every day, they're just in marvel that the Lord would be like that. Well, that's how we're going to celebrate Corpus Christi. Amen. Mm-hmm.